Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Scaling the Gap. So today, I am so delighted to share with you a guest who is a serial entrepreneur with some really cool entrepreneurial chops in his background. He does so much to forward his own success and is looking forward to helping the success of others. So today he has a couple of thriving businesses, and I cannot wait to let him share more details about that with you today. So Adam Berryman, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
My pleasure. Super delighted for you to be here. And for those of you listening at home, just going to tell you a little bit about how Adam and I connected. So I'm going to be speaking at a summit that he is attending through his franchise organization. And he immediately saw my name, went online, and shameless plug, bought my book, The Tenacious Pursuit of Peace, and proceeded to find me on Facebook and tell me how much this book had impacted him. So that was pretty darn cool. That does not happen every day. So when you're bold like that, you get an invitation onto the show. So thought I would share that with everybody out there so that they know that Adam is coming from a place of boldness and action. And I love it so much.
Oh, I appreciate it. The book was fantastic. Very good.
Thank you. So for those of you who haven't read it yet, Tenacious Pursuit of Peace, check it out. All right. So why don't you share with everybody a little bit about who you are and the work you do in this world?
Sure. Well, as you said, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I own several Budget Blinds franchises in San Diego, Palm Springs area, and also with my family in the Nashville area.
Cool.
Father of two young kids, and it's about the bulk of my time is spent between the two of those things.
Parenting and business building. I love it. So how did you get into franchising? I know you have a pretty interesting corporate background. And one of the things that I always find so interesting is where people started and where they ended. So why don't you share a little bit of that journey with us?
Sure. So my business partner for the San Diego and Palm Springs businesses and I were next door neighbors, and both I was working my corporate job, burned out from it. He was in defense contracting in essentially the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, strange enough, we're just sitting around, the fire pit drinking beers on a weekend, and we're both commiserating about our jobs and our commutes and traffic and, the things that you complain about.
Yeah.
And we just decided that we were going to try to go into business together. And most of it we originally thought was just talk, having a drink. And
yep.
I mean, over time we just continued the conversations to the point where we actually executed on it. And we started with Supercut stores, but it takes so long to build that. Southern California is like where they started. And so we're starting in a very saturated market.
Sure.
But it was never going to be enough to it would have ultimately been enough to sever a corporate job, but not to replace them immediately. My mom had work done at her condo down in Florida. And this lady came in from Budget Blinds and was ranting and raving about how great, she was a new franchisee. She's like, how great this was. And
yeah.
And my mom calls me. She said, you should consider Budget Blinds. And my reaction was, that does not even sound interesting.
Who wants to get into window coverings? Is that even an industry?
That doesn't sound interesting at all. And so Lloyd and I talked about it. It was kind of like, let's keep looking and, see what else is out there. Well, several weeks go by and work's just continue to get more difficult.
Yeah.
And I had a really bad day, long commute home. I'm listening to XM radio and there's a commercial for Budget Blinds. Buy a Budget Blinds franchise.
You're like,
and I picked the phone up right then and I called. And they're like, we don't have a franchise available now, but we actually have a friend, that's selling their franchise. And I connected with the broker and, the rest is history.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we started with that, and it was two territories to start. And, you know, now we're at six.
Yep.
You know, between North County and San Diego and Palm Springs. So,
wow. Really, really cool. So when you got bit by this entrepreneurial bug, I know that you said in the green room that you have family that had a little bit entrepreneurial background in your family, so it wasn't totally foreign to you. What made you choose the route of franchising over building it yourself?
I had spent 13 years in the corporate world, mm-hmm. and I understand the resources, you know, that can be necessary for small business. And I do understand that I'm not perfect at everything. And, you know, it is a nice backstop in certain situations to have that corporate support. And it's definitely been that way. I couldn't imagine starting from scratch. There's just so many things I didn't and don't know.
Yeah.
It was just more of that. Just, I'm so used to corporate resources that it was nice to have.
I mean, it's such a cool and smart move. Why reinvent the wheel when the wheel's been invented and you can just perfect it and you can apply it to the way you tick and move and you can go so much further, so much faster, right? You talked about the speed of that build and capacity to replace that corporate salary. When that, if you're building it from scratch, here to tell you, I've helped a lot of window covering, independent window covering businesses who are built from scratch. It does not happen overnight. It takes some time, right? So it's just a different sort of build with a different sort of resource set. And that's super, super cool to take. So let's switch gears a little bit here into what was one of the unexpected hurdles as you've continued to build and grow, especially as you kind of got a little bit more into it, maybe not one of your newbie hurdles, but as you built a little bit more, what was one of the unexpected? Ooh, didn't see that coming.
I mean, I think our turnover in the beginning was probably the biggest thing. You know, we held on to a lot of people longer than we should have because we just didn't know what we needed for the business. And we didn't really have, we were establishing the culture as we went in a way.
Sure.
So I think, you know, the long journey of holding on to you know, the wrong people for too long.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, it's painful to even, I mean, we have a lot of jokes about certain folks that we held on to for too long. We have like, we're not going back there ever again.
That's right. Not going to make that mistake. Not the Karen mistake. Never again.
But our it's funny because we're right back in it again with, because we acquired the Palm Springs market in August. And, you know, we've had to go through turnover and, you know, definitely a shorter timeline because it was years of not holding on to the wrong people in some cases early on. We're moving a lot faster now, but we're going through it all over again. So,
yeah. There's a piece of advice that someone gave me, which I thought was so interesting at the time. So one of my points of interest have always been to find all the successful people and figure out what they're doing and then amass all those little secrets along the way and compile them. And one of the things that someone taught me about that, hiring the wrong people, is that different sort of individuals are attracted to your company at different stages. So if you're in the growing and building stage, someone who really wants a bigger role, they want to have their fingers in all the pies. They're a little bit more controlling, but they have usually a wider skill base, but they want the freedom and they want to be having impact. And then there's a different sort of individual as you get to that mid-range. And then there's even a different sort of individual, forgetting all about like the right fit for the right job, right? That whole thing aside, right? Just even in your business growth. So if you're a fast moving river and your business goes from that really kind of more startup phase to those more mature phases quite quickly, you will actually outgrow team members faster. And it's not because you did it bad or wrong. It's that when you're getting started, there's a certain type of early adopter, pioneer, attituded person who will agree to take a job with something kind of, we'll say, unproven, versus someone who wants something a little bit more steady and stable and proven. So that whole dynamic of when you're growing fast, you sometimes outgrow people more quickly than what you could have thought. Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, it is true. It's well, and also too, like the folks that we took on in the beginning had to be way more flexible and dynamic.
Sure.
And now everybody's very siloed in their roles.
Sure.
you know, it can be, and it's a lot better. It's easier to find the right person for the role now because they don't have to be so dynamic.
Right. They don't have to be an all-arounder. They can just be really amazing at fill in the blank, right? You can have an amazing scheduler versus having to have someone who does every single job possible. Right. And that also means that when that all-arounder when you start adding people, they feel like they're losing something when they have to delegate pieces of their work that they're attached to, even if they're totally burning out, even if it's way more than what they can handle. Most of the time, those early pioneering sort of individuals, their ego cannot handle a transition in their scope. And that's what creates that tension and that need to part ways, right? Just no longer good fit.
I think that applies to business owners too.
Absolutely.
Things up.
That's right. It is so hard as a business owner to have to let go. So it's saying yes to the great and then having to say yes to the excellent means you have to say goodbye to the great, right? Things that you were great at, things that are effortless for you, things that give you a lot of dopamine, a lot of joy, a lot of like, oh yeah, I love it. I'm so good. Oh yeah. And then suddenly your business grows to another level and you have to make that progressive journey yourself of leadership duplication, teaching someone else how to lead in your stead. Oh my gosh, it can be excruciating. It can be excruciating. So hard.
It's very challenging.
Absolutely. So let's get out of the painful parts for here a second, the excruciating parts. What was one of the unexpected delights? What was one of those, gosh, couldn't have seen that coming, but in a really beautiful way that this journey has bestowed upon you?
We still continue to surprise ourselves with what we're able to accomplish. You know, we went in and one of the things that just kind of early on is just we want like this optimal customer experience. And it's really good in theory, but in practice, there's a lot of moving pieces to get you there. And, you know, it kind of goes back to that, you know, building the team, you know, as we started getting those right team members in place and it all started to fall into place, that customer experience is now so ingrained in our culture that it's so much fun. You know, I get Google reviews pop up on my phone and my computer has notifications, right?
Yep.
And our team has done so good at soliciting the reviews because we need to. But more importantly, getting honest reviews from customers. We crossed, I think we're at like almost 1,250 Google reviews in San Diego at
Wow.
Actually, I think it said 5 stars last time I looked. It was so weighted over the any of the negative ones. And it's just so rewarding to see that every day. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I get 3-4 a day coming through. It's very memorable. It feels amazing to see those things come through.
Yeah.
And it's I could be having the worst day and everything's going sideways as they tend to do sometimes. And then I can reflect back on the Google reviews as they come through and it just changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I put those into a file in my inbox called Brag Book, because there are days when you just need it. There are days when you just need to go back and they'll be like, we really don't suck. We really don't suck. I know we don't. And just you have to be reminded, because you can have some of your days are going to be absolutely terrible. It's just statistically accurate. There's no escaping it. You're going to have a percentage of your days, and it's far more than 10, 20, maybe even 30 that are just hard, right? Because if there aren't any hard days, it means that you're coasting. It means that you're not growing. You're not stretching. There's no learning happening. So the hard days are usually days when there is growth happening in you as a human, in your team, and even in your organization, right? One of the cool things is thinking about your company exists outside of you and outside of the people as an organization. It's its own living, breathing organism. And itself has to grow and change and move. And that's why the dynamics of how the people and how the processes and how everything works. And it's why at certain levels of growth, you have a breakdown, because the organism isn't designed to reach that size, right? It has to like reinvent itself. The process of metamorphosis has to take place, melts, goes in the cocoon, melts, comes out a different thing, right? And that can be really intense, but also so rewarding. And when you're in that gooey moments of inside of the darkness of the cocoon or the chrysalis, you really have to be just tied back in to the bigger picture and the joy and the good that you're doing. That ripple effect positivity that you're creating in the community around you is just so palpable. And when you're collecting it in reviews, there you have it, evidence. You can go look at it and remind yourself.
It's like the only way, because I'm so detached now. I mean, when I started, I was doing sales calls every day.
Sure. Sure.
I got that immediate feedback when things went well or not.
Yes.
Now it's so, I'm so far detached from that in a good way, right? We built it that way to, you know, elevate ourselves and get to 30,000 feet and, you know, try to higher level decisions. But yeah, there's something sad sometimes about that long-term gratification. You need a couple of dopamine hits every once in a while.
That's right. About
what's going on.
Brag book. I'm telling you, it helps. What I had learned about that, I actually will never forget the day when I realized how much grief there is in growth. I didn't realize that. I was actually had just joined this really cool entrepreneurial group of high flyers. And there was this woman who had just sold her business for $30 million. And I thought, damn, like she should be happy, right? She built it to sell it, sold it. She should be happy. And she was on this call, one of my first calls with this group, all really high dynamic, high achievers. And she cried. And she said, you know I just sold the business, but I'm so used to running and growing and building this business. And I just have been so focused on the transition process. I forgot that I need something to do. Like I lost my whole identity. Like I don't have a company. I don't have a team. I'm not a CEO anymore. And it was really intense for her to recognize, wait a minute, this beautiful thing that I built and grew, it did exactly what I wanted. And here I am feeling sad, right? Because there's still that need to let go. She, of course, reinvented herself and found new things to do. But that moment of, wait a minute, like everything that I've been doing is no longer relevant for who I am and where I am in this very moment. And that component part of letting go, that grief part, can hit us so hard because we didn't expect it.
Yeah, that's great perspective. You know, it's like as much as you don't want your ego attached to what you're doing, it's almost impossible for it not to be.
Sure.
You know, all the warning signs are, you know, you build it, it's don't make it your identity. But I almost feel like you're not doing it right if it's not part of your identity, right? It's
just, sure.
You know, but yeah, to your point, what do you do when you're not doing, how do you replace that, you know, work or purpose more so?
Yeah.
You start letting go of things. That's a challenge for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And you have this deep inner passion about helping entrepreneurs maybe further afield down the road, because we were talking in the green room about how so many small business owners or entrepreneurs are really good at one component part of what they're doing, but they're not necessarily good at the whole picture of it. So where is that final passion? Where is that triggered for you? Why do you care so much?
You know, I worked my corporate role and, you know, one of the reasons I got burned out was just the fact that, you know, it's a corporate, you know, in the corporate world, you're reactive to quarters and, you know, earnings calls and, oh, we have to make a good show for earnings calls. And so we have to do these reactive things. And, you know, it kind of made me this anti-corporate person in a way over time.
Yep.
And which, you know, kind of got me on this journey to do what I'm doing now. So my passion is I just see the way things have been with really the economy from like really 08 on. The larger companies have just been grabbing everything. And now in home services and what we do, it's a big target for big money to come in start pulling everything up. And, you know, it's not good for us, small businesses. It's making our marketing costs higher. It's eroding margins in a way. Everything's just more competitive.
Sure.
Our team member costs are higher because we want to retain those good people and not allow them to go elsewhere, you know, with private equity coming in. And so, you know, I really just kind of want to, you know, play David in a way.
Yeah.
And do what I can to help other entrepreneurs like fight back and, you know, work through it. And also too, I'm lucky with the experience I've had with growing up, my family having some small business, you know, working in the corporate world, it taught me a lot.
Sure. Sure.
And recognizing, you know, focus on your strengths and supplement your weaknesses. It's just been a big mantra. It's easier said than done, right? But it really is the number one thing where people struggle in business. And so it's not really that, want to say it's not challenging to get in there and figure out where the opportunities lie and try to supplement for that. And so, you know, I just hate seeing peers of mine. Other entrepreneurs, friends that have businesses. I just hate seeing them struggle through things that I've been lucky enough to thrive through. I mean, I'm not perfect. I've had, definitely had my challenge, but my experience kind of helped me get to that and have that perspective. And, you know, it's funny because my partner, Lloyd, that I started in this business with, he and I are a really perfect combination of like fitting in to offset each other's weaknesses. You know, he's very much a, he's a software engineer. So he's he thinks completely differently than I do. Mm-hmm. You know, I ended up, even though my background's in finance, I ended up running sales teams and doing all that. So I'm very much a sales driver, you know, that type team leader, you know, the force pushing everything forward. He's very like process and keeping everything straight. It's a killer combination when you put those two things together.
I love that. I've had so many people express fear about partnerships or aggravation in past unsuccessful partnerships, but I'm in the same path as you. I have a business partner, yin to my yang, right? I'm the high energy, let's go, let's make it happen, visionary ideator. And he is like steady, anchor, calm, persistent, incrementalist, right? I'm an exponentialist. He's an incrementalist. He's the fine-tuned details. I'm the big pictures. And together, like, we make this really beautiful harmony. Of course, there's stuff you have to work out. Of course, there's challenging conversations. But that's also part of that becoming who you get to be, right? Is that those rocky moments allow you to refine everything in the back end, how you work together as a partnership. And I just have found it an extremely additive experience. And not everyone has that experience, right? And there are certainly people who've had bad partnerships. We all know what that looks like. But I love that you enjoy the dynamic that your partner brings to the table, because it's, for me, it's very freeing, right? Lets me go play full out on my field and he plays full out on his, and together we go so much further, so much faster.
I think if he were here, he would say, though, he has to kind of settle me down a lot. You know, it's a lot of like, I'll go after any opportunity. And he's like, okay, well, let's talk about what that might look like. What's reality going to look like? Oh, you know, like, oh, let's go acquire this. Like, we can do it. Oh, can we? Let's put all the spreadsheets and the, you know, like roadmap together. And then let's really see if it makes sense. So he has to reel me in quite a bit. So.
Oh yeah. There's that tempering thing. And I mean, that's part of it too. Like, you can't have, if you only had one, it would be imbalanced, right? So that finding that balance, and in most small businesses, they have to hire that in. They have to hire in the balance, and the person they bring in has to have a strong enough backbone to stand up to the owner, to stand up to the leader, versus when you bring in a partnership, you bring it in from the beginning. So there's that harmonics right built in. And I think it's really powerful.
Yeah. And you know, you grab an extra gear because you're accountable to each other.
Yes. Yes.
Hard to, you go off on your own and you're only accountable to yourself. And it takes a special personality to be able to do that.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Holding self-accountability is extraordinarily painful and hard, right? Because you, again, how can you reel yourself in when you get super excited about something you think is the next best thing? But the first thing that you already did is lying by the wayside, slowly dying a slow death, because you gave your energy and excitement without, you know, that balancing effect to the newest thing. Shiny new penny, right?
Oh yeah.
Dynaudric syndrome. Fall prey to that too. So I'm also being reined in now and then. Mildly unpleasant, but always very valuable. Mm. So, well, I have loved this. This is so fun. I love the dynamic of you finding dissatisfaction in your corporate career, stumbling upon this incredible business partner who just so happened to be your neighbor, making it happen over the years and really building out this with intentionality, but also with a little bit of like, opportunity arises, let's see where it goes. And then having this super intentional build in your team and knowing where you want to go and moving there really quickly. It's really been, sounds like it's been a very rewarding and fun journey along the way.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, love it. So I have my final flagship question, which I have got to ask you, and I'm super excited to hear where you take this. And it's with everything that you've been through, with all the corporate chops behind you, and now you got entrepreneurship under your belt in lots of different ways. Adam, do you consider yourself to be successful?
So I thought about this. If I'm writing in my journal and I really sit and write out, because I do like gratitude journal and really kind of settle myself down and think about the, you know, all the things that are and all the opportunity that I've had and everything, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. But if you catch me midday, just any general day, it's the answer is no. I'm ridiculously passionate about growing and going all the time. I don't like to settle. And so the answer is yes and no. I should, and I am actually doing better the more I reflect on all of that and all the things I've been able to do and how great the business has grown and like the people I've been able to meet. And so the answer really is yes, but I'm super hypercritical and I always want to do better. And so it can be no, depending on the moment.
Yeah. I mean, both are simultaneously true, right? There's not just one monolithic answer, right? It's why I asked the question, because it's true that achievement gene is pushing you to strive. And part of the striving is actually part of the success dynamic for you, right? And there's also something towards which you're moving. So there's something more also, I think, to be said about some level of contribution or some level of impact. Is there something also humming around in that zone for you?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
So there, it feels to me like when you're talking about success, that there's also a dynamic of wanting to contribute more or in a bigger way, bigger picture, having something, I would say, a little bit more robust that you want to do next or an impact that you want to make. You talked about helping entrepreneurs and different component parts. So I wonder if that's also where you feel the gap, is that there's a future iteration that there's more impact or something else kind of hovering there that you still want to chase down.
Yeah, I mean, it's twofold. I do really enjoy the business that I'm in and mm-hmm. would love to continue to grow and acquire more and embrace that. And maybe even more in, you know, home services type things where I can cross-pollinate marketing and whatnot. So I won't stop until something stops me. So, there's mm-hmm. that. I mean, that drives my life and lifestyle. But then there's the giving back and the, you know, the more of a meaningful purpose. And I guess it kind of goes back to, if I eventually build the business large enough where I don't need to be involved. I mean, my goal would be to build a machine that can make acquisitions, find and acquire them without me ultimately and run them. And, you know, I could just essentially sit and be the chairman of the board in a way.
Yeah.
That's the ideal on that side of things, but I still need a purpose, and my purpose, what I would love for it to be, is to really bring others along on the journey and, you know, help, you know, them fill in their weaknesses and grow and enlighten them, point them in the right direction. There's so many young and not just young in age, but just young in business and entrepreneurs that, you know, they just don't know. And I see so many fail early, and if they just had the right guidance, they could be a lot more successful to, again, be that David to slay Goliath and take down these, you know, big corporate companies that are coming after all of our trades. So that would be that would be my life's purpose in a way, I think.
Mm. Okay. I think I got it. So one of the things that I love to do, one of my favorite things of all, is when people talk about what their definition of success is, I backwards engineer a little success algorithm that's entirely personal to you. I've never had these component parts. Some of these things are going to be highly, highly unique to Adam. And it's okay, right? Because if you are the one who is measuring yourself against this yardstick, I want you to be able to say, yes, yes, oh, yes. Mm-hmm, yep, that got it. Because then it's not a fabricated yardstick from the external, someone looking at you and applying it. It's internally. You're looking at it and applying yourself to it and all these different dynamics. And if you're feeling off kilter, unsatisfied, something's not quite right, you can go back to your definition and say, where am I off? Which of these parts is out of sync? So let's see. Sometimes I nail it. It's okay if I don't. Well, I put all the component parts and I took a little bit of, you know, liberty based on some of our earlier conversations. So let's see if we got it. And then we'll chat through if it needs some refinement. So for Adam, success equals being rooted in gratitude plus passion for growth plus a refusal to settle, plus dynamic relationships, plus building a robust business, plus holding a David stance, plus capacity to make a lasting impact by lifting forward as you climb.
I like that. That's very cool.
Does that feel complete?
It does. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really awesome to sit with it and to say, where is it? Right? Because I think you said yes, but with the refusal to settle and the passion for growth and all of these. And I would say yes, and it's part of your success algorithm that you're driven, that you still have mountains yet to climb, right? That's part of the fun of it. That's what helps you get up in the morning, right? So we don't want to rob ourselves of that, because there's a difference between contentment and complacency. And what you don't want to say is, well, I'm content, therefore I have to be complacent. No, I'm content, therefore I have to go strive for more, right? So they can live in beautiful harmony.
One of my favorite things of your book, and it's really the thing that, like, and I put that in when I reached out, it's in owning your strengths and really embracing that. And I struggle with it. You know, I think, you know, it's brought up to be humble in as many ways as you can. And it's, you know, in reading all that back, or even just talking through it, sometimes it's really uncomfortable to do that. It feels like bragging, but, you know, ultimately, and that was what I really appreciated about the book is, like, you know, embrace it, own it, and just carry that with you. And, you know, and what that means to me is that, you know, you get to highlight those things that others can see, and you share that with others, and hopefully that brings that light out in them as well. So
yeah,
I really appreciated that. It was awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. I always feel like you can't pass a fire that you don't have. If you want to set fire to the world and inflame people around you and get them going, and if you don't have it, you can't give it. And you got to really protect that little flame when it's really small and weak and kind of wimpy. And you got to let it foster and glow into something that's really able to withstand the wind, right? Because the wind is coming. The wind is always here. It's just whether you have to have your hands around it or not, right? A big raging fire in the wind is fine. A little tiny one single little light is not very strong to withstand the wind. So that's kind of how I look at this capacity to build and to grow on with your strengths, is that you have to really protect it at first when your understanding of it is small, until your understanding of it grows and your capacity grows and you build that strength. And then it becomes kind of like a roaring fire that can set others on fire, right? And when you are courageous enough, and it does take courage to claim those strengths, what you do for other people, even if they have wildly different gifts than you, is you give them courage to claim theirs too. And what a world we could have if everybody stood in their strengths and really had, I'm going to say again, the courage to claim that crown, right? Yes, I am successful, and right, there's still so much more for me to do. It doesn't mean I'm going to lay here and rest on my laurels and sit on the beach eating bonbons for the rest of my life. Like, that's going to lead you to an early death for lots of reasons. But there's, you know, it's still that capacity is just right here for all of us. And there's so few people who are willing to get uncomfortable enough to claim the crown soon enough that other people are inspired to follow them.
Wow. Very powerful.
Yeah, that's what we're doing here. We're claiming our crown so that other people can be inspired to see it and do likewise. Love it.
Oh, that's great. That's so cool.
Thank you for opening this space for me to get all passionate about that and be able to say it, because this is really, you know, this is why we're doing this podcast. It's why we're sitting here and talking about it, because so few people, I've had people on here who have been from externals, like, so wildly successful. And their answer to the, do you consider yourself be successful, is no. And it's because they feel that if they claim success, they're going to no longer strive. They're going to no longer be motivated to go get more. But what if they don't have to be, like, so separated like that? What if you could just have it as part of your success definition, passion for growth and refusal to settle? What if that could be possible? And today it's possible for you.
That's amazing.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to explore all of this and for me to wax so poetic. I usually don't rant quite that hard, but hey, every once in a while, you got to get on your soapbox and just let it out, because it is just right there to be said. So thank you for the opportunity to do that.
And yeah, I plugged your book, but I really mean it. I feel like it's the catalyst for me. I've talked about these things. I've dabbled in the things to, you know, as far as, you know, the business stuff I'm hard and fast at, but the passion project and, you know, being able to get out and even do little things to help others, record things that I'm doing that are working well and just share that with other folks that be very impactful. And so I appreciate you putting yourself out there, because I do feel like now I have a little bit more motivation to start doing these things and enjoy it and have fun and have that, you know, hobby passion project in a way. Whatever it turns into is whatever it turns into. But
that's
I'm really excited to start that journey.
I love it. I love it. Well, here's to being able to catch up with you in the future on a future podcast and hear how the journey's going. And let's give you 18 months or so, and let's catch back up and see how that journey's going. Because who knows? I love that. Never know what that little seed planted can yield in the future. So just going to put that there, and we'll see what the universe does with it. So I love that. So Adam, thank you so much for joining us. If people want to learn more about you or follow your business, where can they find you?
I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And then also, I mean, I don't really have any media set up yet, so
sure,
not quite there yet.
All right. Well, we'll follow Adam Berryman, follow him on LinkedIn if you want to hear more. And you can certainly find out also about his businesses. And if you have window treatment needs in his service area, look him up, because he's awesome.
Yes.
All right.
San Diego, Palm Springs, and outside of Nashville. We got you.
Love it. Love it. Well, my friend, thank you for this. And for those of you listening at home, I want you also to start to think about, where are you hesitating to claim your crown? And if you're hesitating to claim your crown just because you're still a climber, because there's more mountain ahead, then why not wear your crown as you climb the mountain? Because if you do, again, you will inspire other people to do likewise and also to follow you. And if you're doing something beautiful, if you're doing something impactful, if you have a big picture vision, no matter if you're doing it through a home service business or any other thing, if you have something that you are up to that is great in this world, it deserves to be augmented and followed. And that starts with you. All right, my friends, make today a powerful day. Catch you on the next episode. Bye for now. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McRae, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.